This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It is Monday, and that means it's time to see what is on the mind of Michigan Radio sports commentator John Eubanks. And John, watch last night. Pistons see their playoffs come crashing to a halt as they lost game 4 to Cleveland, a sweep, lost to LeBron. Any takeaways from those 4 playoff games for you?
Believe it or not, even though they went out in 4 and the Wings went out in 5, the Wings is very discouraging and the Pistons is very encouraging.
How so?
A, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That has not happened in this decade, so that's good news right there. B, they played them tough a couple times. They lost by 2 points there at the end.
Yes.
So they're building on something. I think Stan Van Gundy is one of the best coaches in the NBA, and the Pistons have got him. And I think the future is very bright. They're missing a piece or two. They're not there yet. And one of them is a piece they've already got.
Well, and it's Andre Drummond who's sitting on the bench because he can't get those free throws in.
This guy's a 7-foot center, so you and I have no idea what that feels like,
no.
Of course. Out of UConn, he's really the Pistons' only all-star, the only real marquee player, making $2.5 million a year, but he can't make free throws. This is his Achilles heel. Now, that shot has not changed since grade school. Same ball, same hoop, same distance, and he makes less, far less than 50% of his free throws. So what happens is, big man down low, everyone knows, and every team, all you have to do is hack him, you know, hit his wrist, hit his back, shove him, whatever else, and give him 2 shots from the line, and he might make one of them on a good day. That's better than 2 points down low.
Yeah.
So you can't have him late in the game when you know he's going to get fouled. What I find amazing about this in general with the NBA, free throws are so unbelievably important. Why doesn't every single team in the NBA have a free throw shooting coach? The motion never changes. It is bowling. It's not golf where the course is different, the distance is different. It's the same thing every single time. So it can't be that hard to coach.
Is the NBA moving toward trying to curb these intentional fouls the way you described?
They are, but the way the rules are set up, the last 3 minutes of a basketball game takes about 18 hours. And the reason is intentional fouls, endless timeouts, which is crazy. And that's part of the culture. So they'll find ways to limit them, but they cannot, as it now stands, eliminate them.
All right, on to the Red Wings, knocked out of the playoffs in Game 5 Thursday night. One more first-round exit. So give us your top 3 thoughts about what or who went wrong.
Top 3. You're tough, Canty. I would start out with they're older. Some of your best players are older. That's, of course, Henrik Zetterberg. It's Pavel Datsyuk, who's going to be gone anyway.
Cronwall.
It's got 2 parts of the team, the young Bucks and the old guard. And the old guard is getting really old. So that's one problem there. 2, the power play. For you non-hockey fans, a power play is when the other team takes a penalty. You've got 5 players on the ice. They've got 4 for 2 minutes. It's a hell of an advantage. It's the only time as a coach, by the way, you really get a set play. Hockey's otherwise fluid and fast. But on a power play, you can set up 5 guys in the zone, kind of like basketball, and move it around. And the Wings' power play is abysmal. I think they scored once the entire series out of like 30-some tries.
And they hit some 5-on-3s even. It was even more in their favor.
5-on-3s where they spent the time passing the puck. You don't get any points for passing it. You have to shoot it. In fact, they were actually more effective sometimes killing a penalty than they were on the power play. And that is on coaching, by the way. That isn't Blashill. Next thing is the bloated payroll. Too many guys you pay too much money for that you need to get rid of.
This is not a quick fix. I've heard it said and seen it written that, you know what, we need to let that playoff streak go so they can draft better. 25 years. Good. That's good.
NHL record.
Yeah. So let that go and maybe get them in a position so they could draft some higher picks?
The problem right now, you're kind of stuck in the middle because if you're at the top, you got, you know, the pull, best players want to play for you and so on. If you're at the bottom, you get the draft picks, which are the best players coming up. If you're in the middle, you don't really get either one, and that's kind of where they are right now.
And the Tigers swept by Cleveland over the weekend at Comerica Park, and that hasn't happened since August 2008. They've slipped to below 500.
Nice work.
I know it was one John Eubanks who said on this very show that he wasn't happy with the idea of keeping Brad Ausmus on.
I stand by it more so.
And are you hearing it more and more on social media or sports blogs?
Yeah. In fact, guys, we've talked about, of course, on the Detroit Sports Rag, as they've mentioned some of this stuff, give them their due, that Ausmus is a very smart guy, a catcher out of Dartmouth, for crying out loud, that he has lost the locker room. And if you lost the clubhouse, you're in trouble. These are rumors right now,
that
must be said. But they're pretty good rumors, as these rumors go.
Where there's smoke, there's fire?
Right, and that they, you know, that Mr. Ilitch, the owner of both the Red Wings and the Tigers, is getting impatient with Ausmus, and if Leland was available, Jim Leland, the previous manager, he might take him. Who knows?
Yeah.
But when that's even circulating, it's not circulating about Stan Van Gundy, I can tell you that, with the Pistons. Mm. So it's not a good sign for Ausmus, and he's making some curious decisions.
And finally, NFL draft is happening this weekend. What state of Michigan college players should we watch for? Who do you think will get picked?
If you're a Spartan fan, you're in for a fun day, a few days of the draft. If you're a Michigan fan, stay tuned. So the Spartans could have as many as 11 players go in the draft. Only seven rounds, of course. Mm-hmm. They could have four possible first-round picks. Now, I don't think all four are going to go in the first round, but Connor Cook, the quarterback, of course, Jack Conlon, the left tackle, and the list goes on. For the Wolverines, it is probably slim pickings again this year. Graham Glasgow is projected to go in the third round as a center. He was a walk-on at Michigan, so that shows you, A, how well he's been coached and how far he's come, but also how little star power Michigan's got coming up this year.
And what about the Lions? What should they do in the draft? Or
start over.
Blow it up and start over. Well, I guess.
There's not much you don't need right now.
Michigan Radio Sports commentator John U. Bacon. Thanks, John.
Thank you.